Tauranga Te Rama, no mai ki Te Pai or Te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. No mai haere mai, tēnā koutou katoa, ko Ashley McCall aho. Coming up on today's show, the Waitangi Tribunal is expected to hear an urgent inquiry around Māori still being marginalised in the education system. A new Te Moaki is appointed to the Ratana Faith. And a huge milestone in the development of the Taranaki Cathedral. But first, iwi leaders are hailing the shake-up of Three Waters, which keeps mana whenua representation in the new water entities. But while the equal arrangement, which the Prime Minister insists isn't co-governance, remains, there are still plenty of issues to iron out. Here's Māori News editor Jamie Tahana.
The chair of Waikato Tainui, Tukuroirangi Morgan, admits to having been a bit nervous. In an election year, the government's put several Māori policies on hold, such as He Puapua and other co-governance projects. He feared representation on Three Waters, he was appointed to lead one of its bodies, could have gone the same way.
Because after all, what we're talking about is a treaty relationship where all we want to do on our side of the table, the iwi side of the table, is to use our skill and experience to provide what is most important of all. Quality water and affordable price.
In the government's rebrand, the name Three Waters is dropped, but mana whenua will continue to be equally represented on the 10 new entities with local councils. In Marlborough, that's welcome news for Corey Hibbard of Te Runanga Arangitane o Wairo.
From our perspective, it's important that element of the reform program remains in place. It enables us to have a say over our wai, over our river, and over the water quality for the region.
But not for opposition parties. National has panned keeping co-governance structures, calling them divisive. And ACT leader David Seymour says Labour's Māori MPs are riding roughshod over the Prime Minister. However, Chris Hipkins insists it isn't co-governance.
There will be an opportunity for people to have a say within local communities, including mana whenua, in how their water is delivered and their priorities for water. The advisory groups are only one form of that.
But Corey Hibbard says party politics has whipped up misinformation that's been weaponised against Māori.
It's ended up being a discussion that has been fuelled by those seeking to weaponise fearful and hateful misinformation against iwi Māori. That's disappointing, but hopefully the decisions that have been made starts to address some of those concerns, whilst also ensuring that iwi Māori interests in water and the delivery of water services is maintained.
Professor Carwin Jones of the Māori Laws Program at Te Wānanga o Raukawa says the Crown has treaty obligations to ensure Māori representation and to uphold property rights.
We've had the Waitangi Tribunal recognise Māori interests in water, and although Māori wouldn't necessarily describe it as a property right, the Tribunal recognised that in order to kind of recognise those rights that are guaranteed in Te Tiriti, that we should understand that Māori have continuing rights.
But he says there are still plenty of issues to iron out for mana whenua. The 10 entities based on regional councils will cut across plenty of tribes' takiwa, for example, Ngāti Kahungunu, which will be in both Hawke's Bay and Wairarapa. It's also yet to be determined how that mana whenua representation will function. But Tukuroirangi Morgan says there's plenty of precedent to expect that it will work out fine.
The settlement of the Waikato River was a part of this journey. We have tested our partnership with councils under our co-governance, co-management arrangements, and they work magnificently. We have 12 years of experience and fabulous results in terms of trying to restore the health and well-being of the river. We're taking that experience to the table.
But all round, everyone's still waiting on more detail.
The Waitangi Tribunal will hear an urgent inquiry from the body which oversees kura kaupapa Māori later this month. Tirungana Nui's claim concerns Crown practices which argues continue to marginalise Māori in the education system. Pōkere Paiwai reports.
It's 38 years since the first full immersion kura kaupapa opened. Since then, there's been a tug of war between the Crown and Tirungana Nui over who has authority to decide how Māori is taught and learned. Te Runanga wants to establish a parallel system of funding for Mātauranga Māori learning. The co-chair of Te Runanga Nui, Rawiri Wright, claims the Crown has not adequately demonstrated the ability to cater to Māori, Pacifica and special needs students.
207 years, they still haven't got it right, the Crown. 38 years, we are doing something right. Let us manage our own education system for the betterment of not only Māori tamariki, but any tamariki who speak Māori who want to participate in this education option.
Rawiri Wright, who is tumuaki of a kura in Wellington, says achievement results show why there should be devolution.
We have demonstrated, you know, for 10 to 15 years how successful our students can be. We're not just talking about scholastically. You know, we are talking about producing people of good character.
In 2019, the Tomorrow's Schools report recommended that a kaupapa Māori pathway be set up to enable Māori to have authority over the way in which kura are governed, resourced and managed. The Chief Executive of Te Runanga, Hōhepa Campbell, says the report was highly critical of the Ministry of Education.
That report by the Tomorrow Schools Task Force was very clear to the Crown and that it recommended that the Ministry is incapable of supporting kura kaupapa Māori in order for them to flourish.
The main claimant is Dr. Kathy Jews, one of the architects of kura kaupapa Māori and Te Aho Matua, the blueprint for how kura kaupapa are managed and organised. She says years of underfunding means there are a range of issues affecting kura, from a lack of resources in te reo to old school buildings. And government policies have made it much more difficult to establish a kura. 43 were established between 1985 and 2000, but only 19 have been set up since. Rawiri Wright says too often teachers and whānau have to pick up that slack by themselves.
There's a national shortage of teachers, and that is particularly pronounced within the kura kaupapa Māori Aho Matua, where Kaiako, you know, in addition to having a teaching qualification, they need to be fluent speakers of Māori. They need to be able to deliver all manner of subjects in Māori to the highest level.
Three hearings over the next 2 months are set down so far across the country. The Associate Education Minister, Calvin Davis, says kura kaupapa Māori have a right to have their grievances heard by the Waitangi Tribunal. But he says because it is an active inquiry, it would be inappropriate for him to comment further.
Are are mai o koutou taringa ki te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap of the week from our Māori news team here on RNZ National. Ko Ashley McCall tēnei. After months of debate, the Ratana Faith has appointed a new tumuaki for the influential Māori church and political movement. Panu Ao Tukoha Mutu Nga Tamo was endorsed by Morehu at a gathering over the weekend to lead the movement's more than 40,000 followers. He is the great-grandson of the movement's founder, Tahu Pōtiki Wurimu Rātana, and was nominated by the Rātana Whānau. The appointment comes 11 months after the death of the previous leader, Harirangi Meihana. A Rātana Pā representative, Te Taipa Kāmita, told Jamie Tahana about the new tumuaki.
It was about 12:45 on the 7th of April, Hui Whakapūmo sat here at Rātana Pā, where we're in excess of about 300 of our Morehu filled the conference room where the committee ran the hui and majority, all the Morehu supported the nomination put forward by the Rātana Whānau to be Tumuaki o Te Hāhi Rātana. And that name and that person was Manuao Te Koha Mutu Nga Tamo.
Could you take us through sort of his background in whakaro and what he'll bring to the Morehu and Ratana?
Manuao does whakapapa tu ngā rauru, ngā iwi o Taranaki, whanganui, tūwharetoa, Ngāti Tūwharetoa. Te arawa, Ngāti Whakaue, Ngāti Rangi Wewehi, and as far as Te Taitokerau, Ngāpuhi, Te Rarawa. So Manuao is the great grandchild of Tahu Pōtiki Wiramu Rātana, the founder of the Rātana Hāhi and Rātana Faith, also the last of the Māori prophets. So great-grandchild of Tahu Pōtiki Wiramu Rātana and Te Uru Manao. And there's also prophecy and kōrero about the Manuao being the koha mutuna, or the last gift, final gift, to the people. There's a big significance with regards to his name. Manuao has been raised in Ratanapa all his life. So Manuao has been a member of Te Reo o Te Arepa, Ratana Brass Band. And then as the years moved on, Manuao became the head cook, or the head of the ki kōpū, where all the action takes place at the back, to look after and to feed our people. And Manuao has been in that position for a number of years. Very humble man, man of very few words, and, you know, one of those that he lets his hands and feet talk. So Manuao has been involved with the rangatahi throughout the years as well, being one of the original members and founding members of the Morehu Youth Movement, but the other kaupapa that our new tumuaki holds dear is Kotahitanga. And so the first address that he gave to his morehu, to his people, was, and I quote, "I love you, and we need to love each other as well."
It's about Kotahitanga there is healing needed, right? What are the steps as we look to the future?
Yes, well, there's a lot to be done, obviously, with recent activities. Like all kaupapa, you know, when the position of leadership is vacant, our people tend to sort of look towards somebody for that guidance, and now that we have a tumuaki, he can carry that leadership mantle, and believe that everyone will come back on track and everything will be good. Of course, you know, we have to get our feet and our hands dirty to do, you know, a lot of work in front of us. However, I know that our tumuaki, our new tumuaki, is the man to be able to unite us.
That's Te Taipa Kamita. About 400 people, including a delegation from Waikato, gathered in New Plymouth on Thursday for a huge milestone in the development of the Taranaki Cathedral. The newly built Te Whare Hongno Nā, which means the house that binds and a memorial for Waikato soldiers who died in the Taranaki Wars, was formally blessed. The Dean of St Mary's Cathedral, Jay Ruka, says it's the start of a new era for the church to accept its history and plot the future. He told Jamie Tahana about the development and why it's important.
It really was a culmination in quite a few years' work on different levels, really. So you've got our new Te Wari Ononga, so you've got the building part, you've got the renovation of an old vicarage that was built in 1855, you know, and that's been renovated. And then we also had an unveiling of a memorial for our Ngāti Hauwā, Ngāti Apakura, Ngāti Kaura, Taua Waikato Rangatira, who passed away in 1860 and were buried in the church grounds. So it was quite the culmination of, yeah, a number of different sort of kaupapa that sort of blurged into quite a significant mourning, really. We, over 2 years ago now, we actually went up to Ngāti Hauwā to talk about their men that are buried in our yard, and we asked them if they wanted their men back. If not, here's what we wanted to do. So anyway, they agreed that their men would stay here and we would build this memorial for them. So there was about 150 from Ngāti Hauwā, two busloads and about 20 cars all came down, just a mihi to their rangatira that are buried in the St. Mary's Church grounds. And then also they led our Kai Ruruku team as well, actually doing karakia through what is now called Te Manu Ononga, the old vicarage, and then also into our new Wari Te Wari Ononga
Why did Ngāti Hauā want the rangatira to stay lying in Taranaki?
Well, look, it's a great question, because essentially since 1860, the conversation's never been had between Ngāti Hauā and Te Awa. And so there's always been this little bit of mamai, really, like, you know, well, why are these men here? You know, and not at the very least still with the rest of their 38 men that passed away at Mahuetahi in that battle of November 6, 1860. So there's always been a bit of grief and a little bit of mamai. So the cool thing is the process has been the healing of that. And just essentially what happened 2.5 years ago is that we agreed that the men should remain there, but we should do some memorial work. So it's all a part of a bigger process. Yeah, it was really, really special.
Why is it important for Taranaki Cathedral? You know, dates back to 1860. That's well in the wars and confiscations and raupatu and stuff.
Yeah,
why is it
yeah.
important for the church to have this whare honunga, but also a memorial to the wars?
Yeah,
you know, and your te atiwa yourself is that conflicting feeling as well, eh? So,
oh, yeah. That's a great question. I mean, you know, when I was first offered the job to come and work here at Meritapu, I was like, no way. You know, part of me was like, I'm not sure I want to go and work at the church that shot my people.
Yeah.
You know, and the cool thing was is that I went to three rangatira in the iwi and said, hey, look, guys, this job's been offered to me. Even though I waka papa here, I've never grown up here in Namatu. And said, look, should I take on this job or not? And all three of them said, when can you start? So they said, yes, you should take up this role, because the time has come to deal with the past and to deal with the issues. And back in, I think it was around 2010, might have even been a little bit earlier, you know, Sir Paul Reeves, he challenged St. Mary's to say that the future of St. Mary's is dealing with its past. And essentially what Te Wari Ononga is and the memorial for Wetini Taiporutu Ma, like, really, it's the picking of the fruit of the previous generations of challenging the colonial attitudes, you know? You know, the kōrero that says Christianity and colonisation go hand in hand, like, there's a truth to that, but it's not a complete truth. But when it comes to St. Mary's, there is a truth to it. The time has come for Meritapu to really, really deal with its history. And today was a pretty significant step in that.
Yeah, and there's been a few big questions in the past few weeks, both in Taranaki, you know, we got the Maunga deed signed, also for the church as well. I mean, the Vatican, you know, recent statement on the doctrine of discovery and things. Do you think there is, in many aspects, church outside of the church, Māori, Pākehā, a bit of a, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for is right now, but, you know, there's been some moves in the past few weeks.
You know, I'm a believer of that quote. Forgive me, I can't remember who it comes from, but history, you know, bends towards justice, you know, and I think, you know, every human institution has good parts and bad parts. The doctrine of discovery is a disgusting low point in the history of Christianity, you know, so there's been pressure on the Catholic Church to repent of that for a long, long time, and rightfully so, they should. So I think it's essentially, and when I say they, I also include myself as a follower of Ihu Karaite in that. You know, you can't separate yourself as well. I wear the tag Christian, of course, which means that, you know, a part of my work has to be apologising for those colonial sins. Like, it's just right. The time has come where, you know, Christianity, 400-500 years since the 1400s, since the doctrine of discovery and, you know, the movement west to the United States and South America, essentially, Western Empire has been married to the Christian story. But that story, it's actually been separating for the last 50 years. So I think what is happening is that the institutions of Christianity, let's say.
I guess on a sort of more localised scale, is that part of the aspiration with Te Whare Honunga to, you know, have those corridors, to unpick those histories, to,
look,
you know, pop that future?
So, yeah. Like, inside Te Wari Ononga, we tell the story of Ngāti Tuati, their relationship with Pukaka, the land, their relationship with Ngāmotu, and our relationship with Meritapu, with the church as well. And we, you know, we talk the good and the bad of that story. But Te Wari Ononga has been opened today in 2023 the same year that it is now law to teach New Zealand children our own story. So it's, you know, Te Wari Ononga is really is a part of that movement of educating Aotearoa, because it's in learning both the positives and the negatives. You learn what to do and what not to do as we move into the future, you know.
That's the Dean of Taranaki Cathedral, Jay Ruka. Koina Te Waonui I tēnei wiki. That's Te Waonui for this week. You can find all our Māori news stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under the Te Ao Māori section. But for now, thanks for joining us. Ko Ashley McCall tēnei, noho ora mai, tēnā koutou katoa.